coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. You have found us in the middle of a story arc, as you often do. I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Hello, everybody.
There he is. Come on, everybody.
I was having trouble putting on my unstable molecule battle shorts.
But you never have to take them off. That's the part you're missing.
That's the beauty.
Yeah, is that you're having a problem putting them on because you took them off. You just never need to take them off, and then you're fine. So, what story arc are we in, Cole?
We are in the story arc titled Family Reunions, and we are moving into our second chapter.
It's always good. Second chapter.
And we're going to kind of jump back and forth between Marvel and DC to be a little fair, and then we're going to do one to be like, oh, well, you know, that's DC, but it kind of wasn't at first. So, they'll understand.
Yeah,
if I haven't just given it away blatantly, like some sort of.
We're going to do Spartan from the Wildcats. His family, right?
Yeah.
What about.
Yes. We're actually going to be profiling Lord Emp.
There you go. I was hoping that we would get a moment of Emp in here. So empathy. Empathy. That's what we're going to call that issue. We're not doing that issue. But yes, you gave a little tip of the. Tip of the derby at the top of this show. I'm excited for tonight. Tonight we're talking about the first family of comics, the Fantastic Four.
Yes, indeed. Ironically, not the first family we talked about. And it wasn't really a sense of being deliberate there. I wanted to start with Batman, so suck it.
If you have a choice of where to start any story arc, you always start with Batman.
Oh, yeah.
That's the rule that we've lived by for almost 300 issues, and we're going to continue. Goddammit, we're not gonna stop that. But barring being Batman, the next best thing is the Fantastic Four.
Oh yes,
the Fantastic Four, the benchmark, the family to which all other comic book families are compared. And oddly, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think that it's ironic because this is the group that was born of a Me Too.
Right.
That this was, you know, Stan Lee's boss having reaped the benefits of Spider-Man, hearing about what's going on over across town at DC.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And what's really interesting is, While it was a Me Too, it spawned, and we'll get into this later, but it spawned so many Me Toos to spin out of the idea of the Fantastic Four. Also, whether it be a product of the time at which it was released or just being, you know, if I were going to weigh in, you know, in an opinion piece way, a superior product only because Jack Kirby had a chance to sharpen his teeth on the first one and
yes.
Come out swinging on the second. You know, again, it just somehow it became the Kleenex, the Google of families in comic books. And oddly, since we're going to get into this, not everybody in the original core four of the Fantastic Four were family necessarily.
Oh, exactly. And I think that's rather the point. I wanted also, before we get really started here, I want to take off my hat to, because it's kind of hard to put the headphones on with a hat on, but I want to tip my hat to Andy for the just, it is literally the Tasks of Hercules level.
Don't applaud my mental instability.
Yeah, you just poured himself into this topic, and we have enough material on the Fantastic Four that probably years from now, but it is now officially in the queue, we're going to do a 5-issue arc on the Fantastic Four.
Well, what I love the most about the research that we do, and Cole's done his fair share too, don't let him convince you otherwise, is we build up voluminous research on these topics, like just Google documents full of links and ideas, and you know, I think on this one I have an infographic that I found, just all of these crazy things, and then we pretty much just don't use them. We just throw them out once we get rolling.
Exactly.
The best laid plans fall apart upon first meeting the enemy, and this podcast is the enemy, whether we like it or not. But, yeah, Ben Grimm, the original Fantastic Four, the core four lineup were husband, wife, brother-in-law, I guess brother and or brother-in-law.
Well, in fact, they weren't even married yet, technically.
That's true.
It was fiancé and future brother-in-law.
That's true. And then guy who played baseball, was it baseball or football originally? I can't remember what.
You know, that's a good question. And I this was he a race driver as well, or did
that
come later?
Johnny, I think that was Johnny.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I believe Ben was a football player.
Okay, so sports.
He was certainly built like
man.
A football player. So yeah, he did that. That's he did sport.
He was a
as they say
man.
In England. He was keen on sport.
And they were like, you know what, you'd be great at piloting a experimental spacecraft. Let's get you in on this, Ben. Come on, baby. So I want to ask your opinion because I haven't been able to find anything that would speak to this one way or another, okay? So is this a case of form over function? I don't believe that they had that Lee and Kirby and, you know, Ditko and whoever was sitting around the bullpen when this was being tossed, bandied about. Like so many of Ben Grimm's badminton birdies were. I think that's a sport reference. I'm not sure.
I think I've heard tell of this, the birdies.
Yeah. Like so many beanbags like... for cornhole. and I don't think that the first thing they did was go, I got an idea for a comic. It's got a really smart guy, his fiance, his race car driving soon-to-be brother-in-law, and this football player. What do we do with this?
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. What I see happening is like, okay, stretchy guy, invisible girl, fire guy, and big rocky dude. Now, how do we get there?
Yes, exactly. And in many ways, I don't know if this was intentional. And in fact, it seems unlikely. But in some ways... they're tapping on a unique level the classic elements. I mean, you have the obvious earth and fire.
Right.
But with her translucent nature,
yeah, right.
You
right.
have air represented, and the fluidity
you're
of
right.
Mr. Fantastic, you have water.
You're absolutely right, man.
And
that's
I think that it was
call.
More subconscious than anything. That's why you only got kind of half and half.
It's just, they weren't going all in on it. They were like, yeah, we meant to do that. No, I think you're right. That's pretty cool. But yeah, so for those of you that don't, we're not going to, we're not going to go through the origin of the Fantastic Four. If the 85 movies and 75 reboots, including the latest one, don't, you know, if you can't figure it out by now, we can't help you. But what makes them unique? Because we've got five issues, right? We got the Bat Family. The Bat Family is unique because almost none of them are actual family. What makes this unique against any other family, I guess is my question.
Yeah, I think part of it is you have a family that already starts out as a family in a way. Because you have a mix of the family, the actual blood family bond between... the, you know, brother and sister.
Sure.
And then you have the family, the family level friendship between Ben and Reed because, you know, they're an unlikely pair.
Right.
The brains and the brawn.
Well, and you also have to figure that when you look at it, the pairing of Sue Storm and Johnny Storm are a very unlikely pairing as well because, and to this day, Sue Storm is portrayed as relatively demure,
Yeah.
You know, pretty well put together, decent head on her shoulders, whereas Johnny is, much to his namesake, just you know, popping off at the hilt, just getting crazy all the time.
Oh, he's the impetuous one, and you know, it becomes sort of like, you know, you just sort of know that this group will somehow form a family.
No, god damn it.
That's the way they all became the Fantastic Four.
Well, that was through cosmic rays. In one, again, if we're talking about Batman being one of the most negligent of you know, of patriarchs in the world of comic books, we absolutely have to include Reed Richards in that mix for taking his closest, dearest friend's family and the woman that he wanted to be his future wife in an experimental craft into space because maybe they found an anomaly they wanted to check out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, I guess, how do you sell the idea that radiation can turn, physiologically change four individuals in drastically different and complementary ways? You know,
right.
No two got anywhere near the same shit.
Right, the but, superhero equivalent of the tapas bar up there.
Just... Exactly. But the thing was, how do you sell this ridiculous notion? By putting in front of it a more ridiculous notion.
Okay.
That whoever's financing this damn rocket ship into space is going to let the lead scientist get his buddy to pilot it.
Right.
Come along for the ride, bring his fiance or girlfriend, wherever she was at the time, and her brother, who has nothing to do with nothing in academia.
Nothing. Literally, he's like a stunt. He was a race car driver. Let's bring him. Well, oh, okay, so he's going to pilot. Nope. No, he's not. No, I got this guy to pilot. Well, what kind of, what's he bring to the table as a pilot? He drives, sometimes he flies a jet, I guess. Are we going to train him at all? No, we're just going to put him in there.
That's right.
Yeah, we're just going to put him in there.
We had an extra seat.
Right.
I don't know why we put four in there when it was originally meant to be just me and Ben.
Let's put them all. Well, why do you need two extra people? Well, you know, a weight. You got to have a certain weight if we're going to break. No, that's – well, if that's true, why don't we get some qualified pilots and astronauts to go with you? No, I don't –
we've got like the – it's like NASA. We've got the B team ready to go.
Right. Kevin Bacon's, you know, on the ground.
Exactly. Gary Sinise is pissed.
That's the name. I'm getting that on a shirt because that's just Gary Sinise, I feel like. I don't feel like he's ever not pissed about something. I feel like he's the Stuart Bulk of Hollywood actors. He's always got something going on. But I don't want to dwell too much on like the core four because I think if we say Fantastic Four to just about anybody, it immediately, you know, drums up visions of the classic costume and the Thing, and you know, a flamey guy, whether it be Chris Evans or Michael B. Jordan, you know, whatever it might be, or whoever portrayed him in the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie, which I can't remember right now, which was fantastic. I do want to push into some of the other areas of this family, much like Batman, the Fantastic Four, you know, listen, call it what you will. I don't want to say that, you know, at least they're the parents, unlike Bruce, who just picks up orphans and waifs off the street and press gangs them into a service. But you know, you got a building that literally has a portal to the negative zone in it. Let's just keep our kids there. So, you know, Frank and Valeria just hanging out in the Baxter building with Herbie and what was the name of the mailman?
Oh, Willie Lumpkin. Yes.
Willie Lumpkin. You know, honorary. I would consider Willie Lumpkin an honorary member of that family.
Oh, absolutely. Willie's, I mean, he's there 4 or 5 days a week.
Right.
Going back to when the FF was first introduced, he might have been there twice a day back in those days.
Yeah.
Back when mail was delivered twice a damn day, by the way, and on Sunday. So yeah, he's there all the time. So, but absolutely prior to, them deciding to be in a family way, it they already, had a very ever-growing family, because if you showed up and were some sort of misfit, it was almost like, you became a kindred member of the family regardless.
They would just find you along the way somewhere and bring you back. Another dimension, the negative zone, Mole Man's harem. Just, you're coming back with the Fantastic Four.
Like the Inhumans or Namor.
Yeah.
They're just constantly picking up strays.
Or somebody we're going to talk about later in this very story arc, Spider-Man, is an absolute member of this family.
Yes, indeed. I mean, anyone who gets taken in, given an official Fantastic Four uniform
Sure.
and an official Fantastic Four paper sack.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
I mean, it still smelled like lunch from the deli downstairs in the Baxter Building.
We talk about Marvel Legends a lot on this show, and I'm not sure why we haven't got a paper lunch sack Spider-Man yet.
I know you got one in the 3 3/4 inch line, which is apparently as rare as all hell.
But yeah, you get what happens when two people who were bombarded with unknown and vast, mysterious cosmic energies consummate their marriage and have a child. You get what essentially is the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe living in the worst place to keep him, which is the Baxter Building
Well,
again.
I mean, you go down one hall and hack into you wind up with the negative zone room. We go to another, there's a Doctor Doom time traveling portal that looks like a yoga pad.
Right. It looks like a lift that they're going to bring the cars out on.
Oh, I know. Well, next thing you know, you go and lie down for a little nap, and the next thing you know, Two Gun Kid's there, like, what's this child doing in the middle of the. New Amsterdam's no place for a little kid like you. See what I did there? He went back in time to
Yeah.
Wild West, New York.
Yeah, Wild West, New York. You did. You got there. You got there, buddy. Let's see if we can do New Amsterdam in every issue of this story arc. Let's see if we can talk about it. Yeah, but Franklin becomes the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe, up to and including the point at which Shudder, he causes the Heroes Reborn universe.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely. And they have a daughter. Aw, they have a
Oh, that's
daughter.
right. And they also
Or not
are
a
in one of
daughter. I
those.
guess not a daughter. I shouldn't say a daughter. It's Doom's daughter. But it's an alternate reality Doom's daughter, where he had a daughter with Susan Richards. But of course,
Kinky.
yeah. Well, I mean, this is an alternate. This is a
Oh, that's
different
right.
Earth. So of course they bring her back. Why not? Why not just bring her back? And so now she's there. So now we have 4 plus 2 in the form of, well, so we have 4 plus 4 plus 2. So now we're up to 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but wait, there's more.
Oh no.
When you're a busy scientist who occasionally acknowledges he has a family.
It is an occasional acknowledgement too.
Which I love. Have you ever seen the Venture Brothers' brilliant parody of the FF? And the Invisible Woman analog is talking about their child, and their Mr. Fantastic analog, voiced brilliantly by Stephen Colbert, goes, "Whom?" But
I forgot that the Venture Brothers did the FF so brilliantly, because wasn't that the Human Torch who wasn't able to not get burnt by his...
Yeah, he was actually physically, in a constant state of third-degree burn.
Right. Screaming constant.
Yeah, and unable to shut it off.
So great.
So they had to keep him in like a hyperbaric chamber, and her invisibility was only skin deep.
Right, so you saw like her, what was the name of the guy?
It's like Mr. Body Man or whatever.
That sounds like somebody who lives in the closet at night. Mr. Body
Or like
Man.
Eddie Medina's Gizzard Man.
Mr. Body Man sounds like a Ukrainian nighttime story to keep your kids in line.
Yeah, it's just like, you thought Baba Yaga was bad.
Wait till you meet Mr. Body Man. That's it. Show's over. You come to me
at the
birthday of my butler and Mr.
And
Body
you
Man.
Tell the tale of Mr. Body Man.
That's it. Mr. Body Man's in the Muggerville 7. I don't know what role Mr. Body Man plays. He's there, though. He's there, for sure.
Oh, he's always there.
He's like the Dormammu of Muggerville. All right. So, yeah, I mean, and I do want to talk at this point about the Future Foundation.
Oh, but I was going to point out real quick before we get to that, because you have the absentee parenting that's necessary when, you know, you bring children into the world when you know perfectly goddamn well you're constantly having to save it.
Right.
So it's important to have someone, a good caregiver, a role model. So who better than a professed, actual, bona fide witch, Agatha Harkness?
Oh, God, I forgot that she played such a big role back in the...
It was the nanny to the superheroes.
That's right. You are absolutely correct. Old Agatha, what was the cat's name? I can't remember the cat's name.
Gosh, yes.
But yes.
Channel Clary the Witch Boy, so I don't want to give the wrong cat.
I don't care. Clary, we should all talk about Clary and the Witch Boy as much as humanly possible. Yes, you're right. Agatha Harkness. literal witch, probably at the time at which I don't think she's aged, but I also don't think that she needs to anymore.
Well, I think she stopped aging via magic at the same age that Aunt May stopped aging via God knows what.
Right, she's
I don't know if it was like some sloughed off skin cells from Peter that
she's
kept her youthful.
Agatha Harkness is Marvel's Cloris Leachman. She's been around forever. She's never going anywhere. She looks like she's 300 years old. And she's caused... I'm going to go out on a limb and say she's caused more trouble than she's worth.
Frankly. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't she involved in House of M in some way, shape, or form?
Undoubtedly. I mean, good Lord. The woman... I mean, she's a witch. Okay, come on.
Was she nanny... Wait.
She was actually technically governess.
Was she nannying for Vision and Scarlet Witch's fake kids at that point?
I think she actually, once Franklin had his sea legs under him, absolutely she was.
So,
and she apparently, like, fought off the Frightful Four.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
So then all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, yeah, of course you would get a witch.
Yeah, right? What are you going to do, not get a witch? This is the Fantastic Four. What do you expect? What does that Angie's List ad look like when you're the Fantastic Four and you need somebody to watch your hyper genius toddler? Oh, yeah, we'll get a witch. That's a good idea. That's smart. No, but yes, Agatha Harkness, good call.
So, yes, before I brought her back in there, you were heading somewhere. So let's explore that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was exploring the Future Foundation, which was an interesting concept, which was, so we're the Fantastic Four. We've got a whole bunch of kids running around in here. Spider-Man pops in every 2-3 days. You never know who's going to pop up. So why don't we take this big group of idiots and make them into a super genius superhero team. Like, you know, not necessarily the smart, you know, the heavy hitters, but just the super smart superhero team. So they did that, and they started building a team around it. And that team included Alex Power, who you're going to remember as the founder and founding member of none other than the Power Pack.
Of course, yes.
Yes.
Oh, God, I love the Power Pack.
Absolutely.
All grown up, apparently.
Well, no, he's still like 16 years old.
But he was like 12 back then.
That's true. I guess he is more grown up than he was prior. The Dragon Man.
Oh, my God, yes. One of the best androids ever.
Two evolved Moloids, Tong and Turg. Oh, no, I guess more than two. There's four total. Tong, Turg, Mick, and Kor. A clone of the Wizard. And then later, Artie and Leech from the Morlocks join up.
Yes.
And then they just start picking up strays.
Just like
way.
Mom and Dad.
Yeah. But my favorite member of the group is none other than the czar from afar. One Victor Von Doom. I have a lot to say about Victor Doom. In the context of this, which we will get to, but it's almost this borrows really heavily from Batman, because they decide to take all of their hangers on and make them and mold them and make them into a fighting force. Spider-Man is I guess refer to as a teacher along with Doom. You know, he's in there with the core Fantastic Four. But keep in mind, at this point, Johnny Storm's dead. You remember how that went down.
Yeah. Silently in one instance.
Oh, no, it absolutely was. And it had nothing to do with being a cash grab either. No, nothing
at all. No last gasp before we kiss their asses goodbye.
But yeah, they have run-ins with everything from, you know, the Watcher, which, by the way, I think we might honestly almost be able to consider the Watcher a member of the family here. I think it's on the verge of considering Uatu the Watcher to be a member of the Fantastic Four family.
Yeah.
If only because he's supposed to keep his mouth shut and his head out of his ass. But he just can't manage to do it when it comes to the Fantastic Four. He's gotta be hip deep in that Fantastic Four life at all times.
That's true. And you know, I think that the Watcher has this fascination and you know, the rule breaking fondness for that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I think he absolutely has it. I don't know why he would decide that this is the thing that he's going to break his code of silence, his omatra over, but I think that's what it is. But they had run-ins with literally everybody. Most of them were the super smart kind of intelligentsia of bad guys. So it was interesting in that respect. It wasn't Batman where you're fighting the batshit crazies of town. It was like the genius fights. Genius fights all over the place, like rap battles with Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein type things were happening all over the place. But it was a cool concept. I really enjoyed that. But you know, all the members of the Future Foundation included like Ant-Man and Miss Thing, She-Hulk, which I think that she bears a lot of honorable mention in this show.
Oh, absolutely. She is very much a part of the family because, I mean, she was a caregiver on occasion to Franklin. She was a dear friend to the entire family, kind of a comrade in arms to the thing at times.
Mm-hmm. And somebody who needs to be mentioned, and we haven't yet, and I think we're remiss, we should have talked about her a little earlier, probably in the core group of families, is Alicia Masters.
Of course. Oh, good night. Yes. Daughter of one of their fiercest enemies. because she has severe daddy issues.
Sure.
And who wouldn't when your dad looks like a ventriloquist dummy of Egghead from Batman and makes clay voodoo dolls of, or puppet voodoo dolls of people? So needless to say that what's the one thing you do is you go out and date your dad's enemies.
Right. And not only that, but you go out and you, but it was the thing, wasn't it? That was pretty much, that was her jam.
Oh yeah.
Johnny.
I mean,
she was
with the thing, and she becomes the reminder that under the rocks, under the, the big orange rocks, there's still the ever-loving blue-eyed Ben Grimm, Aunt Petunia's favorite nephew.
Right. You are correct, yes.
And she is that constant grounding during those times of self-doubt, and, you know, the times when he allows someone to turn him back to human again and has to pay the ultimate price of, having to determine that, you know, maybe going back to piloting failed rockets isn't nearly as sweet a gig.
But you're right. And also the fact that she's, you know, hyper blind, and every issue where she's
hyper blind.
Well, you've got to be.
How do you get any more blind than blind? She is so blind that she's like that, the girl in Lionel Richie's.
That's where I was. God, I hate you so much. I was setting up a Lionel Richie joke.
Was it that joke you're looking for?
I was lining it up.
Beat you to the punch.
All right, you beat me to the punch on that line. I think that's about the fifth time we've made that Lionel Richie joke as a team, as an Abbott Costello style comedy team. God damn it.
Lionel Richie, who's on first?
This is the entire reason we set up this story arc was to make that joke, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Anything else that happens is fair game. We've had fun. So she was a member of... She's been around forever. If memory serves, she was...
Yeah, I think she's been almost from the outset.
But I want to... So somebody I do want to touch on is Miss Thing.
And the funny thing is that there are so many things in the world, in comics, in TV, in anything, where a painfully obvious joke gets past me. Because I read things too literally, or I hear things too literally. Like there's a restaurant in Richardson, near where Alcon is held, and... someone said it by name, and I had seen the restaurant many times and never made the distinction that this is more than just a woman, you know, feminine sounding name, Ida Claire.
Yes. It there was a going rumor that is unfounded in my family that I have three like great second aunts somewhere in the past world. That were Ima, Yura, and Bia. So they would have been I'm a farmer, you're a farmer, and Bia farmer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like the famous legislator in Texas, I'm a hog.
I'm looking for the female. Yeah, that's who I'm looking for. Was that who it was? Was it Sharon Ventura? Who was literally the female thing? Didn't have a suit, didn't have anything.
I remember that ultimately, because wasn't Miss Thing, didn't she go into like the all holds, you know, no holds barred super wrestling league or whatever that was?
Yes.
Wearing a costume that had the golden arches from McDonald's on the breast.
The grappler or the grapplers, because doesn't she?
I think you're right.
Yeah, because she was a member of the Fantastic Four and female wrestlers known as the grapplers. Yes. She was Miss Marvel, but then she became She-Thing, where she literally was a female version of the Thing, which I'm trying to remember how she got her powers.
Gosh.
That's what I'm trying to look into right now, is how did She-Thing get She-Thing's powers? Oh, she got exposed to cosmic rays too during an
Oh,
adventure in
okay.
space. Fair enough. There you go. Wonderful. Poor lady. But it had to have thrilled Ben Grimm,
Oh
right?
yeah, finally.
Right, because now he's got ones of his owns to go by, which is great. Like, it was weird. It was weird that she existed, wasn't it? Like,
Yeah.
so what do you want to talk about, Cole?
Well, let's talk about I think you one of you part of your research you mentioned that friends are the family you choose, and
Right.
that's been a prevailing theme, or will be a prevailing theme throughout this series or this arc. And so many are the friends, both superpowered and normal.
Okay.
You mentioned Willie Lumpkin. Wyatt Wingfoot got his start.
Oh.
Native American character who was treated, in a wonderful way that Native Americans weren't treated in comics.
Right. That's absolutely accurate. Wyatt Wingfoot. I had forgotten about Wyatt Wingfoot. No superpowers, right?
No. And in fact, what's wonderful about Wyatt Wingfoot is he goes on to like hook up with She-Hulk, and he becomes her boyfriend.
Yes, which begs a lot of questions that I can't answer, by the way. But he did a lot of interesting things as just a normal. He was sort of their Rick Jones
Yeah.
for a while there, not having a lot of superpowers, just basically the tenacity and the will and the athletic acumen to do battle with really whoever. I didn't he fought who'd he fight? I'm trying to remember now. I'm reaching back into the Wayback Machine. Miracle Man, Annihilus, I'm looking now. All of these different people he was involved with. Texas Twister. It's just interesting. That's a good call, man. I had forgotten
Yeah.
about Wyatt Wingfoot.
Wyatt
That's
Wingfoot's a fascinating character, and there's just so, I mean, we're never going to hit everybody, but I didn't want to go away from this without mentioning, because he's a very important part of the Fantastic Four from early on.
absolutely true. You are absolutely right. And we're not going to get to everything. That's why we were talking about doing a full Fantastic Four arc, because it's going to be a virtual impossibility to get to every single person that we want to get to, and talk about every single thing we want to talk about. But there is one that I do want to talk about. I want to talk about bad uncles for a second. I want to talk about those villains that are more family than we'd like to admit. We all have them in our own actual lives, and that's no different in comics. We talked about the Joker, how there probably wouldn't be a bat family in the way that we know a bat family to exist if it weren't for the Joker. And I think in the same respect, we have to look at Doctor Doom as the bat. So here's the way I see Doctor Doom, right? Doctor Doom is that uncle you have that lives in town, that you see once or twice, that drops by once or twice a month, and he's asking for money, even though, he just bought a new Mustang, he needs money,
Yeah.
or he's always the one popping off at the family reunion or the barbecue, or gets upset because he's not invited. But you're gonna go mow his lawn anyway when he needs your help mowing his lawn,
Yeah.
or you're gonna go help him retain leadership of his banana republic if he needs help retaining leadership of his banana republic, knowing full well that at the end of the day he's gonna screw you over, knowing full well at the end of the day that he's gonna pull some shenanigans and he doesn't need the money you're loaning him, and you're just gonna see him on a new Schwinn or something. That's Doctor Doom.
It's either a new Schwinn or a brand new shiny coat of shiny armor.
But you gotta, but
with a new tunic and everything. I mean, none of it was what he came in with.
But Doctor Doom has helped the Fantastic Four win. So that's the other thing about Doom, right? Is Doom likes to flaunt the fact that he feels superior to the Fantastic Four. You know, Doom has, yes, fought, but never killed a member of the Fantastic Four. Never really put any member of the Fantastic Four in anything that I would consider, you know, hyper mortal danger. But he's going to cause some shenanigans. You know,
yeah.
Hey, Reed, come help me move this thing. Yeah, stand right over there on that big square metal thing and help me move this. Oh, yep, that's my time tile. Motherfucker, now you're in you're in ancient Rome, buddy. It's like, damn it.
That's fine. How's your Gaelic? What the hell?
Don't use the word.
I thought you said we were in Rome. It's all Rome now, baby.
Yeah, he's going to pull some shenanigans, you know, and try to take over the world. Because he's got... But that doesn't mean that he's not going to help you fight Overmind. Or he's going to help you fight Atuma. Say it.
I'm not going to do it.
Damn it, man.
God damn it. It's not the Atuma.
Thank you. Or, you know, help to fight the Red Skull or Krang. Or
it's like Paul Sorvino at the end of Rocketeer. You know, he may be the bad guy, but this is his country. Well, it's not his country, but still.
But, you know, he's done. He steps in and helps the Fantastic Four on so many occasions, joins the Future Foundation, mainly because his daughter by another multiverse mother is there, but joins the Future Foundation, helps them train these people, saves the world again about a million times.
Yeah.
But you know,
and at intervals, he'll like switch over into his, like, you know, the one that the tunic that the Doombots accidentally bleached.
Yeah, the white, his you know, his Lone Ranger outfit.
Yeah, his Victor the White.
Right. Right. And he'll save the day. But at the end of the day, he's going to pull some shit, and you know it. You're just like, damn it, Uncle Doom. Why you gotta be like this, man? Like, you're just gonna cause a bunch of shit, and everybody's gonna be pissed off about it. But there he goes again. But all in all, he hasn't been the worst guy. And I think he's mellowed, you know, and then that's what they say at the family reunions, you know. He's mellowed a little bit. Old Doom, he's calmed down. You know, he's not doing the same things he used to do. You know, he's not stealing bikes and selling them at the pawn shop anymore, at least.
Exactly. It's kind of like the, you know, the friend of your dad's who you always kind of never felt comfortable around. Then, you know, years later, you see him at some kind of gathering, and you're like, you don't even recognize him because he's been on the wagon for 10 years. And
right. He looks 20 years younger. And
yeah, you're like,
what happened to you, man? Nope, healthy living. Let's do it every time. But yeah, Doom, the weird uncle that shows up at Christmas already drunk, that owns 3 jet skis but doesn't live near the water. That's what Doom is. Hey, you want to come over and look at my jet skis? No, Uncle Doom, I don't want to come over and look at your jet skis.
It's a beaut.
Somebody come over and help me with my computer. No.
That's right.
No, no, we can't. Oh, man.
Not after last time.
Oh, Dr. Doom. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I really like
Doom.
Doom
is very much part of the family because he sort of insinuated himself in. Plus, he and Reed were old, you know, they're old pals from way back when it was like Ben was on the football team. They were on the blowing the goddamn bell curve for everybody team. And apparently, according to some John Byrne retrofitting, Walter Lankowski, a.k.a. Sasquatch, and Michael Morbius, a.k.a. the unimaginative Morbius the Living Vampire,
all from the same
were
school.
Also, like, contemporaries at Big School.
Big School. Where'd you go to school? Big School. Oh, with Reed?
Big school.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I went to Big School.
I went to Big School. Oh yeah, down on Long Island. Yep, Big School down on Long Island. Oh my God! But we said at the top of the show that we would close
Big School of New York, Long Island.
we would close this show out by talking about some of... Well, okay, wait, one more. One more, and then we'll talk about some of the also-rans, okay? And we have to talk about the one, the only, Herbie.
Ah, yes.
Herbie, who finally got his own action figure package.
Twice.
Did he?
He actually, in the 3¾-inch, it was a box set.
That's right.
That had a Herbie in it. Yeah, Herbie the Robot, who was introduced as an adjunct to a replacement for the Human Torch, because you can't have
why not?
Human Torches on Saturday morning, apparently,
That's valid, that period in history. That's right. Because it was like having to change the nunchucks to a grapnel hook for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because it was too violent to have a guy that was just on fire running around, or kids start thinking things if you're not careful.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, man.
Or they'll do like that god-awful issue of the Fantastic Four where the kid set himself ablaze because he wanted to be like Johnny Human Torch.
I don't think they said Johnny Human Torch, but all right. I'm with it. highly engineered robot built for interdimensional exploration.
I love it. How audacious.
Much like Jack Kirby, I'm pretty sure that Reed likes to work backwards. Like, I like the name Herbie. Okay, well, what's it mean?
Why, it means highly engineered. The hell it does. You just made that up just now. You didn't think about that when you named him. It wasn't... Look, at you're over there painting dots between the letters on his nameplate.
His name was just Herbie.
It was just Herbie. You named him after the damn VW bug.
You really liked that movie. And this is what we get for it, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. So in the... Oh, I didn't know this. In the Fantastic Four cartoon... What? Okay, this is interesting history. This is the one thing I didn't look up. So when they put it on TV, apparently... That's... Our postulation wasn't true. So Stan Lee decided that they needed a cute robot for the kids.
Yeah.
Cockrum hated the character so much that he let Jack Kirby do it in his later years.
Okay.
And, you know, so Jack Kirby created the Herbie that we see.
Really?
Which explains a lot about the way that Herbie looks.
Yes, he does have that.
Yeah, that Kirby-esque weird jets on the bottom situation with... Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. But it was voiced by Frank Welker, and then brought into continuity.
That explains why Herbie would say, "Fantastic Four, roll out."
They're like, "Well, he's good with Optimus. Let's let him be this little shitty robot on our cartoon, then." And Frank Welker's like,
"This is
entirely
different. I usually talk at a very low register like this. Now you want me to talk like this?" Dawes Butler die or something? Oh, too soon?
Too soon.
I don't know the timing, but there's got to be somebody like, "God damn you, he did die about that time, you heartless monster.
Son of a bitch." No, but it was Wolfman and Byrne that brought him into the actual Marvel Universe, because, you know, LSD's a hell of a drug, and when you're sitting there high as balls, when you're John Byrne, on whatever your highest ball's on, probably Molson's. Can you get high on Molson?
Yeah, for a while. Yeah.
You can get high on anything if you use enough of it.
Molson and Quaaludes.
Molson and Quaaludes.
But technically, it's still Molson.
It's the weirdest Hunter S. Thompson I've ever... Give me a Molson and a handful of Quaaludes.
I got a deadline to face.
But they were the ones that brought him into the actual Marvel continuity, into the universe, which is interesting. That's interesting. So I wanted to bring that up. I thought that was pretty cool. But yes, Herbie. So now I want to talk about the Keeping Up with the Joneses here, the also-rans, the the spin-offs and copycats.
We need to talk about the fact that the Fantastic Four has had an ever-changing roster.
Oh, yeah.
So it becomes sort of like the Olive Garden when you're here, your family.
Oh, man, that pasta pass. You've seen that pasta pass, dude?
I have pasta? What the hell? I gotta go.
Oh, no, there's a pasta pass. It's like 60 bucks, and you get it's like movie pass, except with
Are
pasta.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. This just became a show about God pasta pass. This just, if, I don't care whether
Welcome
this
to Hey Kids
show
Pasta.
Literally, I have it saved on my phone. I have it saved on my phone, and I've been eyeballing this pasta pass for like the last week. Like, man, wouldn't be hard to sign up for this pasta pass. But yes, do you remember the McFarlane drawn stand-in Fantastic Four when they got trapped in the Negative Zone?
They went really extreme.
Oh, like, they went extreme.
What's the most ridiculous Fantastic? Because I mean, at intervals, Crystal or Medusa from the Inhumans have been members of the Fantastic Four. She-Hulk, as we mentioned earlier, a number of other characters have come and been this sort of temporary stand-in when one or another member had to be out. But this was like all in. It's like, hey, let's all get together and call ourselves the Fantastic Four for reasons.
Ghost Rider, Thor, Wolverine, and Mr. Fix-It. That was the members of the Fantastic Four.
Right, Mr. Fix-It.
Mr. Fix-It.
This was the period where some of your favorite superheroes went into, like, being doormen at the Apollo.
Right.
Because Hulk became Mr. Fix-It, or Grey Hulk, I guess, became Mr. Fix-It. And we actually have a future episode somewhere in the coming years titled Color Me Hulk.
Right.
And,
was it like this was the same? Was this the same period of time with your absolute favorite version of Thor?
Oh, that's true, because you had Thor in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, went like earthly and got himself a job as a construction worker as Sigurd Jarlsson.
Sigurd Jarlsson. Yes, and what. But that wasn't when he became Thunderstrike, was it?
I think it was before Thunderstrike.
Okay.
But this is also the period of Shudder. There's only one thing worse than this in the vastly halls of Wolverine history.
Oh, no.
Patch.
Oh, Patch.
But yeah, we had this bizarre ass Fantastic Four for a brief period.
They had a weird sled that they took off on and were riding it around like through the Negative Zone, and Thor was behind it with Mjolnir powering it. It was weird. It was super weird.
It's like, how can we take? And then again, your mind goes back to a scientist, his girlfriend, her brother, and his best friend. On a rocket ship.
Right. Right. That's how. That's how it makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Nothing in the Fantastic Four makes any sense. We're supposed to assume that any of it makes any sense whatsoever, and it doesn't. But I do want to touch on a few of these, just for the sake of being able to touch on them. I remember and I just want to do like kind of one, maybe. If you have one, my favorite one, and I wanted to talk about it, was Hank Henshaw and his Atomic Family. I don't know if that means anything to you, Cole.
Hank Henshaw. Not as much as it probably should.
Okay, so Hank Henshaw is the given name of Cyborg Superman.
Ah.
Now, when he got his start, it was in and I have this issue of the comic somewhere. It's in real shitty condition. But it was in Superman Adventures of Superman 466. Hank Henshaw was he had an atomic family. There was a four-member family, and it was an absolute 150% ripoff of the Fantastic Four. Hank Henshaw then goes on to become Cyborg Superman, where it's the Atomic Family. And when I say the Atomic Family, I mean in the terms of like Bob Dobbs, pipe smoking, you know, they all got their little costumes, but for the most part, it's that idea where, but they're all evil and bad. And they go into space, they get bombarded by cosmic rays, they come back and they fight Superman almost to a standstill, but then we don't hear anything from Hank Henshaw for, God, I don't know, 25 years? And during the death of Superman, somebody dug this up and went,
wow.
You know what? We're going to make him, and from then on, he's been a supervillain, he's been a Yellow Lantern, he's been a, you know, all of these different things, which I thought was a pretty cool, interesting, you know, piece of trivia there.
Uh-huh.
It started with Fantastic Four.
I didn't realize that went that far back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know, me, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's a cool story. If you haven't read it, it's a really cool take on the fan. It's almost in line with that Venture Brothers idea of the Fantastic Four. Really interesting. But, you know, there's also when the Fantastic Four was in litigation hell with Fox, DC launched the Terrifics, which were Mr. Terrific, Metamorpho,
Elastigirl?
I believe it was Elastigirl.
From the Doom Patrol?
It was Phantom Girl. I'm sorry. Phantom Girl from the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
And then
Plastic Man.
And Plastic Man.
Or is that Plastic Man's weird-ass son?
No, it's straight-up Plastic Man. So you had Mr. Terrific, the super smart guy, right? Then you had Plastic Man, the stretchy guy. You had Metamorpho, who was the monster, right? The monster man. And then you had, you know, Phantom Girl, correct me if I'm wrong, but what was Phantom Girl's powers? She basically could phase, right? She could walk.
Yeah, she was sort of like Kitty Pryde.
Right.
But I think she could also become invisible.
So there you go. So there you have it.
And to speak to another Fantastic Four analog.
Yes, please, because we got to wrap it up soon. So let's.
Yeah, we're running low. In the absolute brilliant series, Astro City.
Ah, there you go. See,
they have
to get it.
First family, FURST.
Okay.
And there's like, you know, one of the members of the first family, like the granddad, one of the, you know, the uncles or granddads is like this reptilian creature from another dimension or another world. And, you know, one of the characters is obviously modeled on Jack Kirby. And somebody has this like giant ass Kirby bubble pipe that like spews the Kirby molecules.
That's awesome. That's really cool. It's really, really cool. I love it. I love it. Who else was in the? Oh yeah, we cannot forget that the Fantastic Four was so popular that they spawned a blockbuster movie. And I'm not talking about any of the Fantastic Four movies. I'm talking about The Incredibles.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there would be no Incredibles if it wasn't for the Fantastic Four. Direct homage. I'm not gonna upset anybody by calling it a ripoff, but it was definitely an homage to the Fantastic Four. So do you have anything?
Oh, no, absolutely. Just in closing, I really want to. I think that the Fantastic Four, of course, is a no-brainer with this, and an absolutely necessary part of this arc. Because they were a family that then expands into a bigger family, an even bigger family. And there's a wonderful piece of art that shows, you know, we talked about the bad uncle. There's also the annoying cousin that just sort of shows up.
Who's that?
And Impossible Man. No,
oh,
papa.
Damn it. Damn it, Cole. I thought we were going to get through this without talking about...
The Impossible Man, because it's impossible not to talk about the Impossible Man.
It makes my butt pucker. It makes my butt pucker up.
Yeah, I just there's a John Byrne years ago did this wonderful poster that I bring up from time to time because when Catherine and I were first dating, that was one of the first things she saw in this little apartment. Was this big poster of Fantastic Four and Zero writing on Namor and said, "Who's Aqua Spock?"
What did I s Oh, God damn it. Oh, that's what it was. Did I tell you my why I didn't think about this as soon as you told me that story? The only correct response to who's Aqua Spock? Did I ever tell you that?
Oh.
I'm gonna take your silence as no, I didn't, because I thought
I
about
don't
it.
think you have.
I thought about it for 5 years. All right? For 5 years, I thought about that question. The answer is, baby, that's Leonard Nimoy. That's the only answer that works.
Okay, yeah.
That's the only answer that
Let's
works.
see, boy.
It took me 5 years to come up with, but that's the only answer that works. God damn it, I'm a sad human being. But yes, go on. I'm sorry, Aqua Spock. Continue. Oh, God. Oh,
Well,
damn it.
that's just, I mean, I think just in closing, we do need to talk about Aqua Spock a bit because Namor was this on again, off again friend and enemy. He's one of two characters who have a unique sort of brotherhood within the Fantastic Four family as well. But he sometimes rages against the surface world, and the Fantastic Four have to come put him down, send him back packing back down to Seahorse Land. And it's ironic because it's not land, it's water. But he is one of two characters that have the serious Love Jones
Oh yeah.
for one Mrs. Reed Richards,
Oh yeah.
and the other is a frenemy, one Norrin Rad of Xyn Law, or formerly one Silver Surfer.
Well, I like to equate if Doom is the uncle that we described earlier, I agree that that Namor is the cousin that gets way too drunk at the 4th of July cookout and ends up talking to Reed like, "Hey, I could've got Sue." She's like, "Okay, buddy. No, I could've done it. I could have gotten invisible pants." And you're just like, "No, okay, Namor. It's time to. I'm gonna bring a whole army. You met a Tuma? I got a Tuma on speed dial, son of a bitch." And just, Reed's like, "You need to. No. That's enough. That's enough, buddy.
Krang? I'm not
Krang.
talking about the one from the Turtles, neither.
Krang. Just standing in the corner, it's like, "I know Krang. I know Tuma. I know three sharks. Three sharks." Just like,
It's
just like
kind of
that.
like the aquatic version of Magnum PI. There's like these three sharks that live in the yard.
It's just like, just let him go. Just don't.
You know that octopus is guard. No, shut up. Okay, I can't go any further. So this again, it's been fun. We are going to have to do a Fantastic Four arc
Yes.
because there's just too much ground to cover.
Yeah, we spun a lot trying to get to everything and we couldn't. So we'll do a whole arc on it. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just the Fantastic Four is too rich. There's too much going on. But it definitely deserves its place in the echelon of families in comics as it was the first real recognized family unit. With all the standard family unit problems, we didn't even get into the fact that for the first 50 years of Sue and Reed's relationship, Sue's job was either to turn invisible, which, by the way, I'm not gonna get all toxic masculinity on you, but it's very telling that her role was to turn invisible, to fetch Reed a sandwich while he's working on the ultimate nullifier,
That's right, and he could get it himself. It's obvious that his hand knows its way around the Baxter Building.
Right. Ew. That's gross. It deserves it. It deserves it. So what about next week, Cole? What are we getting into?
All right, well, next week, we are going back over to DC, and we're going to talk about the signature family, the Superman family. I think it was the first family to be called the fill-in-the-blank family.
Right.
When somebody realized there's a lot of different Superman characters that are always doing stuff, and we're hurting for another Superman title, so how about the Superman family? It was sort of the Betty and Veronica of DC.
That's true. And I just,
you know, when you're casting about for another title, that's you, Betty and Veronica.
I'm really interested in talking about where all these Kryptonians keep coming from. And I'm also really interested to talk about the fact that you can't just claim a Kryptonian as a member of your family. Because he has a bad habit of doing that, by the way. If they're from Krypton, Superman's like, yeah, they're family. Like, no, that's not everybody from Krypton. It's just your family. I don't think you understand how family works.
Yeah, so we will be back in a week with The Last Son and Then Some.
Nice. That's a good title. I like that. So why don't you plug us up, and we will get up out of here.
Indeed. Well, we are coming to you from the Jedi Cold universe at JediCold.com. You can write to us at JCUMail@Yahoo.com. And Andy, if you can fill in the blanks for me on the social media that I ham-fistedly forget.
It's at HK Comics Show on Twitter, on Instagram, and on the Facebooks. And, of course, on JasonMimosa.com.
That's right. Be sure and check out JasonMimosa.com. I'm actually working on a little graphic for that.
That's good. I like that. Because we're going to get – we need to start collecting Mimosa recipes.
Absolutely. We're going to be I'm going to work on concocting the official Jason Mimosa, which will be served to the Games and Theory team at AllCon 2019.
Well, I'm going to make a big old pitcher, and then I'm going to sit with Steven in your morning show on Sunday and just drink Jason and mimosas the whole time.
That's right. We'll just mix them up there. It'd be like one of those talk shows, you know, where they have the somebody come out and do a recipe.
That's right. Except I'm going to just do it while you're doing everything else, just in the corner, just talking to the audience. Now you're going to take the champagne, and you're just over here doing the actual show. And he's drunk at 8 in the morning yelling. So it's going to be like a family reunion. It's going to be great. Oh, God. I can't wait for next week. I like talking about Superman's dumb family.
It's going to be fun. And there's just, again, so much to talk about. But we're going to be revisiting the Fantastic Four sometime between now and 2021. Because officially, we are now booked solid into the third quarter of 2021.
Hell yeah. That's insane. I challenge another podcast to have been planned out for 3 more years.
That's right.
The hubris that we experience on a weekly basis is unimaginable. You have no idea. I love it. Oh, God. All right. Hold on. I got to see. There you go. That's good podcasting. Whew.
Love it.
All right. So, buy, collect, enjoy your comics. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics.